And good morning and welcome to LaPorte Church of Christ. It is May 17th, 2026, and we welcome you folks out there. We thank you for being there with us this morning. And I hope you enjoyed that Red Beckman message that we had. And like I said, please give me some feedback. Let me know, you know, how the audio was, if you could hear it all right, if you could understand the words. It was a new process that I just tried this week on a video that I've had in a folder that I have not been able to play. And it was so corrupted. And hopefully if this works, I got a bunch of really good nuggets that are in that folder. And I'd like to be able to play them for you. Red Beckman, I've known him since I was small child. I think it was probably 6 or 7 when I first met him. Him and his wife used to come to Washington State when we lived in Linden, Washington, and he would travel from Montana and come up there and go to the sale barn and buy calves. And he had a van with a makeshift stock trailer after the government had come in and raided and taken all of his possessions, took him out of his house, seized his vehicles, bulldozed his house. He started it over again and got a van and got a boat trailer that he converted into a makeshift stock trailer, and would sleep in the back of his van and come up there and buy calves, and used to take me to the sale barn when I was 6, 7 years old. I remember him and his wife would... they always wanted me to go to the sale barn with them. So we'd go there and he'd buy calves and stayed at our house and slept in his van and traveled back to Montana. And every time as I got older and was traveling, every time I had to drive through Montana, I had to stop and see him. And I remember one time when he made a trip out here and stopped by, I think it was the radio ranch or the church here, but he was driving a Dodge pickup with a Cummins motor in it, and it was one of the first ones that I'd seen, and I think it was 95, 96, and he pulled in, and I was just staring at that truck, and I wasn't even paying attention to who was driving it, but he got out, and he said, he could tell by the look on my face that I was impressed with his truck, and he says, "You want to go for a ride?" And got in that truck, and he took me for a ride, and I just never forget that. He was a good, very good man, very good patriot, and I'm very privileged to be able to know him. He died in 2018, him and his wife were both in the hospital at the same time, got a call from him about 3 days before he passed away, and just was... from his dying hospital bed, he called to encourage me to make sure and keep up with ministry and keep putting good information out. So anyway, I was thankful for that phone call as well. Good man, and I'm really thankful that we've got some of these messages that have been preserved. And like I say over and over, you've heard me say it an awful lot, but... you know, I think that these messages are more more for today than they were 30 years ago when they were originally preached. I think that you can find so much truth and you can apply them to the times that we're living in, and I sure am grateful for it. They sure don't make them like that anymore. I guess we should start off with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we thank you, Father, for being able to be here, Lord. We just ask, Father, that you just continue to guide us and direct us as we come before your throne, Lord, and put away the cares of the world and come to learn your word and your ways, Lord. And, Father, we just pray, Father, that we may be pleasing in your sight, that you may purify our hearts and our minds as we do this, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the work that you're doing with your people and the awakening that has taken place. And Lord, we just continue to ask that you continue to awaken the remnant to who they are, Lord. Lord, bless us as we gather together to praise you and to thank you for all the things that you do for us. each and every day. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray, amen. Well, I ain't got a whole lot of time, but I guess we got a couple songs that we're going to go through. We should start off with a song, and let's start off with This Is the Day.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. Thanksgiving in my heart, I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Celebrate our King. We will celebrate our King. Let his banner be raised. Let his glory be praised. We will celebrate our King. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. We will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad.
Amen. Well, I think we got time for one more song. You want to do another song? Okay, we're going to do This Land Is His Land. Coming up.
This land is his land. He made it our land. From California to the New York Island. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. His land he made for liberty. This land of Christianity. When I went walking a ribbon of highway, I saw above me his endless skyway. I heard before me my kinsmen singing. This land was made for you and me. This land of Christianity. This land is his land. He made it our land. From California to the New York Island. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. His land he made for liberty. This land of Christianity. Then I went wandering through the Rocky Mountains, through the woods and meadows, cross streams and fountains, searching through deep doubt, I heard my kinsmen shout, this land was made for you and me, this land of Christianity, this land is his land, he made it our land, from California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, his land he made for liberty, this land of Christianity, this land is his land, he made it our land, from California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, his land he made for liberty, this land of Christianity.
Amen. Well, a couple things. I got a couple emails in this morning that came in early this morning that I wanted to share with you and encourage people to do just like Charles did. It says, this comes in from Charles in Michigan. It says, Jason, I'm having a very hard time breathing because of the oppressive chemical emissions. As of 7 a.m. yesterday was the same from emissions after 5 p.m. to 11. My lungs feel full as if from smoke, and I have pain in the lungs. It's been more than 8 years the Lord has made me suffer this. I just pray for an end to this suffering. One Sunday service, would you have him near my God to me, to thee, played? God bless Charles. Yep, Charles, we're going to do that. And also got one that came in this morning from Rick in Missouri. It says, praise the Lord in all things. Addie returned home from life-threatening illness and is completely healed. Praise the Lord. And then he says, praise him for my daughter graduating middle school. She's a Christian, and for the person that she has become. And, we put out an urgent prayer request for Addie a couple weeks ago. And praise the Lord. The doctors basically gave her no hope, and they had thrown up their hands. And she's home, and she's healed. So praise the Lord for that. That's awesome. And we're going to give the Lord thanks for answering that prayer and pray for his daughter and also pray for Charles's lungs. And last night, my youngest son, Dustin, he was jumping on the trampoline and slipped and twisted his ankle, and it swelled up just as like the size of a softball. And he's in quite a bit of pain. I don't think it's broken, but I'm pretty sure that it's just a sprain, but I want to pray for him as well. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you, Father, for answered prayer. Oh, Lord, we've seen you answer the prayers of the saints so many times recently, and we just come before you and give you thanks for these answered prayers, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you hear the sheep of your pasture, Lord. We thank you for these healings, Lord. I know that you're doing a work across this land, and you're putting your people in a position where they have to turn to prayer. And Lord, I pray that they just continue to do that. We lift up Charles to you, Lord. He's been suffering with this ailment for years, Lord, and he's having a hard time breathing. Lord, we just ask, Father, that you heal him of this infirmity, that he doesn't have to suffer from it any longer. We claim the truth that by the stripes laid on the back of Jesus Christ that Charles is healed. We claim that healing power to flow into those lungs. We ask that you breathe new breath into his lungs, Father, that you rejuvenate his lungs and that you allow him to take those big deep breaths and just be able to breathe fully. We come against the forces of hell and anything that is causing him to not have his healing. We pray, Father, for those blockages to be removed, and we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over him, and we claim victory. Lord, grant him the healing that he needs in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, Father, for Dustin's ankle. I just pray, Father, that you heal him. I pray, Father, that you just reach down, touch him, and that you restore him, take away the pain and just all the damage that's been done there, Lord. I just pray, Father, that you put it back and that you heal him perfectly and so that he can walk again soon. Lord, just pray, Father, I just lift him up to you. Lord, we thank you, Father, for this Christian daughter who's graduating. And Lord, just pray, Father, that she just continues to remain a Christian and a good person, Father. And just have your hands upon her. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray, amen. Well, we're going to have another message. And this is another message that I restored this last week. And it was one that was in that same file, the Do Not Play file. And I'm just really glad that I didn't get rid of it. It is one a couple weeks ago, several weeks ago, Brother Zach was talking, had a message, and he was talking about Louis Beam. And Louis Beam was, he attended many of our camps and conferences years and years ago. He was a door gunner in Vietnam, a good man. And it was funny because Zach called me up and he was telling me about him. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I've met that guy. And he just laughed and he was like, really? He couldn't believe it. He didn't know that he had been to any of our camps or conferences. And anyway, I had this message. This one's entitled Breaking the Sword. And I listened to it this week, and it's a really good message. It's a short message, but it encouraged me, and I hope you enjoy it as well.
Trying to intimidate me, and me proving to them that they're never going to intimidate me. I needed to be recharged. I wasn't ready to speak at 7 o'clock last night. But I'm ready to speak tonight. I'm ready to tell you some things that are in some ways good and in some ways bad, and it will depend on you how you receive it. America is an occupied country. Our enemies own and control this country. They control the communications, they control the media, they control the police and the government. But there's one thing missing there that they do not control. There are men in this room tonight the government does not control. I am here to urge you to be one of those men or women if you're not already. We know about the terrible atrocities going on. We know that the government has shot Mrs. Weaver and a little boy. We know that the government has burned 90 people alive, sent them to a miserable death, men, women, and children. And many people are frightened by that. In fact, I tell you, there are people not here tonight because they are afraid that would have been here if those people hadn't died in Waco. So they chose not to come because they are afraid. And so the enemy's already won over them. Because if they can make you fear, if they can make you stop doing what is right without locking you up or shooting you or hanging you or feeding you to the lions, then they've already won. If they can make you fear them, bow down to them, bend the knee to them, the victory is theirs. And if they win, it's not just you who loses. Take a look around you at these children. They lose too. Their future, their place under the sun, their right to happiness, their right to exist. If you are a coward, if you allow the enemy to make you fear, you're giving away their heritage, their right to live, and their future. So you have a very good reason not to fear. These children are worth fighting for, aren't they? Keep in mind that those who would make you fear are evil, vile, despicable cowards. Yeah. Because they can mount 500 men to attack one small family on a mountaintop in Idaho and shoot a woman and a child does not make them brave. Now let's see, if it takes 500 for that small family, how many will it take for a room full of us? Think about it. You see, it is they who should fear.
Right.
They have innocent blood on their hands. The blood of women and children who harm no one. who never sought to do anything wrong but to live in peace and happiness, to raise their children in the way that they believed. And I'm told this is what America is supposed to be about. I was raised to believe you can have your religious beliefs. You can think like you want and speak as you wish. But I'm here to tell you that is not the case. I can testify to that. I won't bore you with the stories of my life, but think about those who in recent months who have died and suffered for what they wanted to say or believed or thought or dreamed of. And if you remain silent, if you are cowardly, then they win. They will control this country. They will control the future. And the future belongs to them. And if that is the case, it's an ugly future. So I would like to propose to you something else. I would like to propose to you that we make the future beautiful, a wonderful place to live, where we can raise our families and our little children as we choose to raise them, where we can believe in those things that we hold dear, and where we can practice our faith as we so desire, and it requires you to exhibit courage, if that is the vision that you have for the future. In fact, our people die for a lack of vision. Many, many of us cannot see beyond tomorrow or beyond the next 5 years, or perhaps if we can really see a long ways, we think about our pension check when we retire. I asked you to hold in your heart and in your mind a vision of a future for these children, not just the children that you see sitting here tonight, but children. Can you love that much? Can you care that much to put aside those things that are important to you? They, in times past, our people were raised to believe in honor, duty, loyalty, and courage. And we were a great nation. We were the nation on the face of the earth most blessed. And we believed in honor, duty, loyalty, and courage because as a Christian folk and people, we felt those were ideals that our Father would have us believe in. And we practiced them, and America became strong. Today, we have traded those ideas, honor, for perhaps a new car, duty, for perhaps a large house, courage, for perhaps a secure job. And our children, our wives, and our men are not safe to walk the streets. Because we have chosen the weak things, the materialistic things, our people die. Suffer. I rode up here with a fine lady who I have met, Coeur d'Alene, a great patriot, and she was telling me about her sister. And she said, when she was visiting her sister, that her sister, who doesn't believe like her, took her to the window one night, pulled the curtains back and said to her, Eve, look out there. Everything is the same as it was. The kids are riding up and down the street. The trees are still growing. Why don't you give up these strange beliefs? Why do you keep on and always persist in thinking there's something wrong? Can't you see everything is okay? And I said to Eve, Eve, what she's saying to you is, because some little child is found murdered on the side of the street, and it's not her child, everything's okay. Because she does not belong to a church that tanks come crashing through the walls, crushing little children and women and setting the place on fire, everything is okay. Because the ATF has not come through her front door and abused her little daughter or abused her son or hauled her husband off to jail because he believes in the Constitution of the United States, everything is okay. What she is saying is she can love no one but herself. She can't think about this child sitting here. She can only think about herself. Everything is fine with her. What about the children? Their blood flies from the ground for men to take this country back. It does not require, in my opinion, a lot of courage to face the enemy, or they are cowards.
Yeah.
I have had people tell me, because of the Waco situation, well, you were so brave to stand up and ask them, were they setting up a police state? And I thought about that a second, and I said, it is not hard to be brave when you're sitting in a room full of cowards. So it is not that I am brave, for I am not. I am just a man like you. But I believe, I obey, and I serve my Father. And I asked you to. I only did what everyone else should be doing. And if all of you and all of our neighbors and our friends were doing the same thing, I wouldn't have to go to jail because all of you would be doing it and they can't put us all in jail. And if they try to put us all in jail, it'll be the worst day in their life. So fear not these miserable federal dogs. These cowards who gang up on women and children and shoot the children in the back and the women in the head. Why, fear such a coward? They are beyond contempt, but not beyond hate. For you are commanded to hate those who disobey the law of our Father with perfect hatred. Can you do it? Will you do it? I know and I understand that you love your families and you want to raise your children, and you want to see them grow up, and you want to continue working, and you like your car, and there's nothing wrong with those things. That, in fact, is a very healthy instinct. But where that becomes unhealthy, and in fact becomes a crime, is when you are unwilling to fight for that which is right. Which means, you may know the chains, you may know the leg irons that I have known and others have known, you may know the crash against the concrete wall if they bash your head into it, you may know the feeling of them ramming you over into the back of a car and beating your head against a truck several times to get your attention. You may know those things. But if enough of us know those things, if that's what it takes, then we will know, and these children will know, freedom, liberty, and a future. So if it takes a few bashes against the wall, if it takes a few strolls with leg irons on, I'm ready. Are you? Let's go and get it. Reach and get it. If you can't get it, don't stay. The buck stops here. You want to know where here is? It's right here. In your mind. You can overcome fear, and fear causes inaction. You can overcome those things by believing. Do you really believe the things that you sing? If we turn over to, say, standing on the promises. Standing on the promises that cannot fail when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail. Do you really believe that? I know you can sing it, I heard you. Do you really believe that you can stand on the promise that all things work to the better for those who love Yahweh? I believe it. Do you believe it? Fear and doubt will often assail. But when it comes to me, when it approaches me, I know in whom I believe. I took His word. He says He will protect me. And if He calls me home, then to whom I go, but I will go with honor. And people will say He did His duty. And He was loyal to His people. Believe, obey, serve. That is your mission on this earth. We're not here to cower and behind our doors and under our beds. We're not here for that. We are here for dominion, to rule, to control. And this is the place to start, in your mind. And from your mind, go to your neighborhood. And from your neighborhood to your state. And from your state, let's get the country back. It is time for evil men to fear. Innocent blood is on their hands. There is no blood on your hands. You have taken no one's property. You have harmed no one. You've sought to destroy no one. Why fear? What did you do wrong? Why do you fear? Why would you fear them? What have you done wrong that makes you fear? It is they who have done the wrong. It is they who have violated the laws of this nation. It is they who have violated the laws of our Heavenly Father. And it is they who deserve punishment, not you. And if there be a God in heaven, what I believe there is, well, this body, either on this earth or on the next. They will know the wrath of my Father for these crimes against our people. So I simply urge you not to fear them. Overcome fear. Only two things they can do to you. Only two. They hold a sword to your throat of imprisonment or death. That's bad when you first look at it. Imprisonment. Most of you can't even imagine what it's like in there. It's worse than you think it is. And death? Well, we all have a good idea what death is. Those are the two things they hold up against you and threaten you with, to keep you afraid and to keep you in place. In the back of the bus, instead of front driving where you belong. Well, let me ask you something. I thought about it. Some of my friends have thought about it. Pastor Peters, Richard Hoskins, many, many men here. As you look into the face of these precious little children, if you knew, just imagine, if you knew that by your sacrifice, that child would have a future, would you do it? Have you got that much love in you? Would you do it? If I could give that child a tomorrow and another tomorrow, some beautiful sunsets, would I do it? You bet I'll do it. Do not fear them. Be not afraid of them. Think of the children. Think of your families. Now, death. Well, we all know what death is. We have a good idea, don't we? And it's either good or bad, depending on how you look at it. Hold against your throat. Death. Dying. Being buried. Do you have any example in your mind of history of people that died for a righteous cause? You have lots of them, don't you? You've read about them all your life. You've heard about them all of your life. I could call up 1,000 names. I could start with Davy Crockett, and I could end with the last war that this country fought, where people fought and died for things they believed in. Where they stood at the Plaza of Thermopylae in Greece, the Spartans 300 strong, and fought to the last man and died. I could go from there to the Eastern Front in Germany during World War II, where Europeans from all over Europe fought the Russian communists because they were anti-communists and fought in the snow and froze and died. I could go to an armored personnel carrier in Vietnam where a soldier who had a chance to get out did not because he was killing the enemy and couldn't break contact because that was what he was there for. So he died. I could go to the founding fathers who marched through the snow with blood trailing behind them so that you can sit here tonight. You remember it, Valley Forge. Heard about it all your life. Oh, but is that distant? Can you not really imagine if it was your shoes that was off and your feet that was bleeding? Well, let me tell you, those were your great-grandfathers. Great-great, several generations back. That's your blood that fought there. That your kinsmen that died there suffered. It is not in your blood to fear and snivel before these people, to show them your back. It is in your blood to conquer, to overcome, to have dominion, and to reclaim your country. It's in it. It's in your blood. Won't deny it. Go for it. Let them fear us. Fear not them. For they are wrong. We are right. They are bad. We are good. We serve our Father. They serve Satan. Now who should be afraid? Who should fear the wrath of God? Ask yourself. Who should tremble? Oh, I praise my Father that He gave me the spirit and the will to resist these people. It's a wonderful feeling to oppose them. In fact, somebody said, Lewis, I know you've been down there at the courthouse in Boise having a lot of fun. He knew me. From the time I got there, the Federals surrounded me. They followed me to the bathroom. They sat beside me. And when I got tired of it and went to eat a hamburger, they sent a marshal with me to get a hamburger. And as I walked past in a narrow hallway, these big, burly football players, that's why they hire them. They all make good fullbacks or linebacks. On each side of the hall in that courtroom, they're standing there like that. Well, I can't get quite that big. I'm just 5'8". But they're standing there, and they're looking down at me when I go by. And they want me to tremble. They want me to be afraid. They want me to squirm. And I look them in the eye. I'm not afraid of them. And they know it. They know it. I only fear not doing my duty. I only fear losing my honor. I only fear disobeying the word of my Father. So it is they that are afraid. That's what overcoming is all about. Take that fear, if you have it inside of you, and give it to the enemy. A lot of times, people say, well, I heard you on the radio, or I saw your picture. Yeah, I imagined you as 6'6". I mean, from the way they heard about me, maybe a lot of rumors go around. I never know how to react when I walk into a room of people, whether they expect me to come in with the baby in my arms or with a sword swinging it over my head. I never know. It's because they both go around. People that know me, they know that I love children. I have a sword. I do. Not a physical sword that you swing, exactly. But I have a sword. And the Federals know this about me. They only know the sword part. I transfer any feelings that I might have of weakness to them. When I go into them, when I come in contact with my enemies, there's only going to be one side that fears, and it ain't going to be my side. But how, you ask, can such a little guy make those people fear? Well, I would say that's a good question. And it deserves an answer. And it's simple. It's right before you. I make them fear because I don't fear. And they are afraid. Can you do it? Will you do it? Yes, you can do it. You have to answer the question of, will you do it? I know you can. It's in your blood. You have the ability. Do you love? Can you love somebody beside yourself enough that if need be, if necessary, for the right cause, that you're willing to suffer imprisonment or death for? Can you do that? Can you love enough? Yes, you can. You can overcome the fear. You're going to overcome the fear. You're going to help us take back this nation. You're not going to cower before these people, these little dogs, these sniveling, cringing cowards clinging to love because they have no future. You do. We're going to take the country back. Are you going to give these children a future? Will you fight? Can you fight? You fight so hard. You let him hold it to your neck. You let him make you afraid. Go with their sword and break it and pull yours out and give them courage, honor, duty, loyalty, believe, obey, and serve. Thank you.
Well, we've got variety, don't we? I hope you enjoyed that message. The message was by Lewis Beam, and its title was Breaking the Sword. And as we prepare for communion, We're going to go ahead and have a song, and this one is Revive Us Again.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died. Gone above. every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Just as after we got started, he informed me that I forgot to pull up the slides for him. And so I guess, wish I could blame it on him, but really, oh well. Justice is getting better back there. He's trying awful hard, and I appreciate that. Before we partake of communion, I want to read Psalms 47. Its title is God, the King of the Earth. O clap hands, all people, shout to God with a voice of joy. For the Lord Most High is to be feared, a great king over all the earth. He subdues people under us and nations under our feet. He chooses our inheritance for us, the glory of Jacob whom he loves. God has us with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our king, sing praises. For God is the king of all the earth. Sing praises with a skillful psalm. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the world have assembled themselves as the people of God, of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, we pray, Father, that as we eat body and drink of your blood, Lord, we pray that we may be pleasing in your sight. We do this in remembrance of you and the price that was paid. Lord, we're thankful for the price that was paid for our sins. We're thankful that Jesus Christ went to that cross to bear our sins so that we don't have to. We pray, Lord, that as we do this, that you purify our hearts and our minds. If we're carrying around baggage with us, we pray that you... We pray that as we partake of this, that we get wisdom and knowledge and understanding that come from you. We pray that you... Oh, Lord, we thank you, Father, for it. Praise you, and we pray, Father, that... As we do this, that we may be doing it with the right heart and the right spirit. Look down upon us as we do this, Father. Help us to forget none of the benefits. We know that we get many of partaking of communion, forgiveness of sins, healing, a renewed covenant. Lord, we're just grateful for this and for this time to commune with you. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to have a quick break, have a song, and then we're going to come back and have the message by Red Inn. The title of that message is, We Need Not Fear a Government Bound by God's Law. I hope you enjoy it.
None are so hopelessly enslaved as those who falsely believe they are free. The truth has been kept from the depths of their minds by masters who rule them with lies. They feed them on falsehood till wrong looks like right in their eyes. All of those with eyes that can see, whose spirits are quickened by words they can hear. The truth is alive, and he lived as a man whose life is a gift to this world. And if he has called you, this mystery will soon be revealed. And it will set you free. The truth will set me free, just like he set me free. Lost sheep wandering in this world, who grow the darkness, who stumble and fall. Your shepherd is searching, he's calling your name, he's seeking you out night and day. And if you should hear his voice, let him guide you. Because he is the way. Yes, Jesus is the way. He is the only way. They'll see the day who patiently wait for his kingdom to come. Your sins have been cleansed by the blood of a man whose death on the cross paid the price. There's only one name, and it's only through his sacrifice we obtain his life. Because he is the life, the name is Jesus Christ.